Welcome to another message from God's Word in Luke, the 6th chapter. We're starting with verse number 12. But before we go here, I want you to understand something. That Jesus Christ called out His church during His ministry in the seashores of Galilee. The word church, ecclesia, means one's called out. And here in the 12th verse, we begin to understand that Jesus is building His church. He's building it. Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus said to Peter and to the church, He said, "You are Peter, but a little stone, but you are Peter, a little stone, but upon this rock, this big rock, me, the stone of Israel, the rock of Israel, I shall be building my church. And the gates of hell, Hades, shall not wrestle her down." Now let's go to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Paul writing to the church of Corinth. They had a lot of problems. And we're going to start in verse number 24, verse number 24, which our more presentable parts do not require, but God has so adjusted and mingled and harmonized and supply proportioned the parts of the whole body, giving the greater honor and richer endowment to the inferior parts which lack apparent importance, so that there is no division or discord or lack of adaption of the parts of the body, and he's talking about the church, to each other. But the members all alike have a mutual interest in and care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the parts share of that suffering. If one member is honored, all the members share in that enjoyment of honor. Now you, collectively as Christ's body and individually, you are members of it. He's talking about the church. Each part severally and distinct, each with its own place and function. So God has appointed some in the church for His own purpose. The first gift placed in the church was apostles. And then it says special messengers, second prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, which was like Paul, third teachers, then wonder workers, then those with ability to heal the sick and helpers, administrators, speakers of different languages. Are all apostles? No. Are all prophets? Of course not. Entire interpreters of the will and purpose of God. Why did they need all this? Why did they need these special gifts in the church, in the early church? Because they did not have the Word of God. Do all have the power for performing miracles? Do all possess extraordinary powers of healing? Do all speak with languages? Do all interpret, but earnestly desire and zealously cultivate. Now, in the original language, it says, you are earnestly and zealously desiring the greater gifts. But I tell you, I will show you a more excellent way, one that is better far and higher and above all of them, which is love. And then we get into the 13th chapter. Now let's go and we find out when Jesus placed the apostles as gifts in the church. And these apostles had powers, great powers, divine powers. And the reason why Jesus placed the apostles in the church was to teach the church later on God's will through the revelation of the Word of God, but then to show those Pharisees that he had the power to delegate power. The power to delegate power. The power to delegate power over supernatural things. Now, you said one thing, Marilyn, a while ago before we started this class. If Jesus came back today, what would happen? They would reject him again. Jesus is going to come back and they're going to reject him again. Right here at this church age which we live in, and I believe we're in toward the end of that church age. Jesus is going to come back according to 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. He's going to rapture that church up. Wrap array, snatch away, harpazo. That church and all the saved. And then tribulation will be poured out upon this earth. I believe that Islam will have great powers during this time. Islam has a Mahdi, a beast, and a false prophet, Isa. Now, Islam, everything that's in the Bible that is bad in the Sunnahs, the Hadith, and the Quran is good. Their beast is good. Their false prophet is good. Their Mahdi, Antichrist, is good. The Bible in the book of Revelation talks about the beast, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And the Bible says that the false prophet and the beast and the Antichrist, that the beast will put the number or the name on the believers of the Antichrist on their foreheads and on their hands. Or right sides, literally. Islam today, when you go out and you commit jihad, they on their foreheads, they has, there is no God but Allah, he has no companion, and Muhammad is his messenger on their forehead, on their right arm. I believe that system will become very powerful, and it is becoming very powerful in every nation, including this nation. They will not subscribe to any law and any constitution of any country except Sharia law and the demand of that country that they are allowed under freedom of rights and religion to practice what they believe. But yet, in no Islamic country is there freedom of religion or freedom of conscience in any of those. It is all absolute, arbitrary judgment by Sharia law and by their interpreters of the Sunnahs and the Hadiths. Islam will become very powerful. There will be a temple built in Jerusalem. And that temple in Jerusalem will be for all nations to begin with. The Mahdi, the Antichrist, shall make a covenant with Israel and the nations for 7 years. They will build a temple in Jerusalem. They will move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem. According to the Sunnis and Hadiths, that area is going to be destroyed down there in Mecca. And so the center of worship will not be in Mecca, but it will be in Jerusalem and that Kaaba stone, which absorbs the sin of mankind. The only way that the Islam is forgiven their sins is to touch and do obeisance to that stone. Now the stone which the builders rejected is Jesus Christ, and Islam has rejected that stone also. But in the middle of this period of time, that Antichrist will stand in the holy place, the Holy of Holies, and swear and declare that he is God and demand worship. Every prophet in the Old Testament pointed to Jesus Christ to come. Muhammad pointed to himself. Muhammad wasn't the messenger of God. Muhammad wasn't the Messiah. He did not bring to them a gospel. He was not an apostle of God. But God will allow him to beat up that nation Israel until they will be so damaged and destroyed. 2 out of every 3 will be destroyed. 5 out of every 6 people in the world will be killed. And Israel will begin to listen. Now let's go and look. how Israel reacts to Christ. Hegenato de entes hemeros. Taute ex el thane auton ace to horos. Prosuxaste kai ein. Dia nic teruon ente prosuke to theu. And it came to pass in those days, Jesus, he went out unto a mountain, the Horos. To pray. And he kept on being there through the night. He rubbed out the whole night there. Dia nicterum. Nomine singular masculine present participle active. In the prayer of God. All night long, Jesus prayed. Kai hote egenito hemera, pros ephonesen, tus mathetas, autu kai ex lexamenos, op auton dudoka, hos, kai apostolos, ona maxen. And when it became daytime, he called to himself the disciples of him, the church. And having picked out from them 12, of whom also apostles he named. He named 12, he named apostles. Verse 14. Simona, hon kai, onamasin, petron, kai andreon, ton adelphon, autu, kai yukabon, kai ewane, philippon, kai bartholomon, Simon, whom also having been named Peter, and Andrew, the brother of him, and James, or Jacob, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew. Now all these names, Simon means one who hears, and Peter means a small stone, and Andrew means manly, and the brothers of him, Jacob means the fall of the hill, and John means dove and gentleness, and Philip means lover of horses, and Bartholomew means son of consolation. Verse number 15. Kai Mathaon, Kai Thoman, Kai Jacobon, Alphaon, Kai Simona, Ton, Kalamanon, Zelotain. And Matthew and Thomas. Matthew means gift of God, and Thomas means twin. And James, which is also Jacob, and Alphaeus, and Simon, and the one being called Zealot. Simon the Zealot, now he was a Sicarii. The Sicarii is what brought down the downfall of Israel. The Sicarii were Zealots. Judas Iscariot was a Zealot. Simon was a Zealot. Also, Paul the Apostle was a Zealot. Mm-hmm. And the last stand at Masada was a stand of the Zealots, the Sicarii, the dagger men. These people were assassins. These people, the one Barabbas, that Pontius Pilate tried to get them to release Jesus instead of Barabbas. Barabbas was a leader of the Sicarii. And these would bring down the nation of Israel and scatter them over all the earth. Pontius Pilate said, he washed his hands and said, I am innocent of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And he said, so be it. Jesus looked at Jerusalem. He said, O Jerusalem, how many times I would have called you as a mother hen with her baby chickens. And they run for protection. They run for food. But you would not come. You would not come. Verses 16. Kai udain Jacobu, kai udan Iscarioth ho egenito. Prodotes. And Judas of James. Judas, by the means, it's Judah. Judas is Judah. King James got the names all mixed up. Judah is Jude and Judah. Judas, Jude, and Jude are all, Judah are all the same word. It should be Judah, always. And Judah, son of Jacob, son of James. And Judah, Issacharioth, man from Kerioth, who became a betrayer. Now let's go back and let me read this in the Amplified from verse 12 onward. Now in those days it occurred that he went up into a mountain to pray. And he spent the whole night in prayer to God. And when it became day, he summoned his disciples, his church. And he selected from them 12 whom he called, whom he named apostles, according to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. They were special messengers with great authority and power. And there were Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, or Judah. Issacharioth, man from Kerioth, who became a traitor, a treacherous and basely faithless person. And then verse 17, we're going to start our next message. Now, I hope that you've learned something from these lessons tonight. And I hope that God has blessed your heart with them and that He's opened your eyes of your soul. And Father, we send this message out again. Father, feed people all over the world in the Philippines, Marna and Don in Australia and their family, and please be with them as they begin their new ministry and their new assembly. And Father, help us to continue on. Help us. We need support from all over. We cannot put this out on our own. It takes people to help us. And Father, I pray that if one is out there that is lost, that they will come to know You. And those that are saved, that they will zealously desire to serve You in every way they can. Father, watch over all those that are this side of the country. Nick in Texas and Mark in New York. All of those, Jay in Arizona. Those in Marysville, California, and all over the world, in the Philippines, in Japan, China, Ethiopia. Father, I pray for each one of these individually that You will touch their lives with Your word and bring great honor and glory to You in these messages. Forgive me where I fail You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.